This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And that's Melissa Warren's business. And she saw a specific need in the community to take care of the older people and the people that were having physical problems. And what they do is her business, they go in and they take care of errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, and medication reminders, and many, many other things. And we're talking about 24/7. If you have a specific need for your home, call Melissa. And if you want to go over and see her face-to-face, she's at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, behind Kroger's and Memorial Boulevard, or call her at 713-4639 or online www.athomecaretennessee.com. And this is our version of Murfreesboro Mayhem today. We have Mr. Charlie Pitts on, and we do have a peanut gallery today.
Yes, we do.
We have Larry Ralston sitting at the far end and Fred Goodwin in the middle.
Wouldn't know what to do without him.
No, and I guess you're Buffalo Bob today.
They've been my chair and suction for a long time. Larry and I have been friends since we were six, and I met Freddie when he was 5 years old at the movie theater with the cowboy guns, cowboy suit, cowboy hat, boots. I said, who is that little kid walking around with a cowboy hat and boots? At a Roy Rogers show, and they said, that's Sheriff Goodwin's son. I said, y'all better leave him alone, because the sheriff will get you. But it's nice to be here, Truman. Thanks for inviting me on your show. You have a wonderful voice for radio, and I really enjoy listening to your show a lot. And I listened to the John Hood show this morning. He did a great job. And I'm here to at your service.
Well, it's about time, because I know that you've been begging me to come on these shows for about 6 months. And I finally, I said, I'm throwing caution to the wind today, big
go.
Boy.
There you go.
So,
well, I made up a song about you, Truman. I want to play for the folks, okay, if you'll let me.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a good song.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a little thing I made up this morning about 10 o'clock. Uh-oh. I play in the key of L. Sounds like L, but I'm trying to do D. Truman don't need a rocking chair. Geritol of the Medicare. He's not ready for the junkyard yet. He still looks like a new Corvette. He does his rocking at WGNS. Truman Jones has stood the test. Take a little longer or he'll get there. Truman Jones don't need a rocking chair, like an Eskimo needs a frigid air. Truman Jones don't need a rocking chair.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
Thank you, folks. Thank you.
You are pretty good at songwriting and playing, and a lot of people hear your voice every morning on Shop and Swap. Yeah.
I learned that in the Church of Christ, where I was raised, to sing and everything, but I didn't have a guitar. They wouldn't let me bring a guitar in.
Mm-hmm.
I took a guitar one Sunday. They fought Yellow Jackets with it, and it's at the landfill. You know the big hump at the landfill?
Yes, uh-huh.
All my family's destroyed a guitar at one time or other, and the church destroyed a few of them, and my sister's destroyed a few of them, and that's why that hump is so large at Walter Hill. So.
Now, how long did it take you to write the Shop and Swap song?
5 minutes.
I
wrote it by hand.
Now, what gave you the idea to do that?
Well, I kept hearing these guys on the radio. I said, you know, these guys are great. I want to do their voices. And I would practice while I was cutting hair. And my poor customers had to listen to me. I've got a lot of great customers. And all sizes, all ages, all from everywhere, all over the world, I have customers. And they were encouraging me to write some more songs and things like that. I wrote the Shop and Swap song, donated everything to the special kids. And if you hadn't bought a record yet, I'd like for you to buy one. WGNS donates the plastic and the CD I donate the song, don't make a penny out of it, but the special kids get a lot out of it. So sometimes come by, and Truman can sell you one, or anybody at the radio station can sell you one, and it sure would help the kids.
Yeah, and that's it's a great organization. They take care of the kids, and I know that I've got a lot of friends that have had their kids go over, and what a wonderful job they do.
Yes, sir. I changed that song around this morning just for Truman. I did that in about 2 minutes.
Hmm.
You know, it has to be creative. In creativity, something happens to you all of a sudden, and you'll make a run like that, and you won't do it for a long time.
Are you creative with your haircuts, too?
Oh, yes, yes. I have been shot at by a lot of people. I sure have.
And they still keep going back anyway.
Well, you know, I saw Donald Trump's haircut on TV.
Oh, my goodness.
And he has the worst comb-over in the world.
Yeah,
you know?
He does.
And I had to top that. This guy came in from, I won't tell you where, but he let his nose hair grow out real long.
Mm-hmm.
I combed it back over his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
But every time
it looked good.
Every time he sneezes, he flogs himself. So if y'all see that guy out somewhere, you'll know Charlie Pitts had a hold of him.
You know, I bet you could make a fortune if you'd call Donald Trump up and tell him that you could fix his hair up where it looked halfway decent.
Donald Trump would probably treat me like he did Rosie O'Donnell. You know, he might get a hold of me talking about his hair, you know.
Well, somebody told me, a little birdie here, I can't remember where it was, Fred or Larry, that you were the one that actually started hairstyling in Rutherford County.
Well, you know, even in the third grade, I was noticing my brother's hair, my sister's hair. They'd go to the beauty shop, come back with their hair real crooked, and I'd straighten their bangs up a little bit, or I'd straighten the bob up a little bit on my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers, bless their hearts, I'm the best looking one in the family.
Bless their
hearts.
They
look kind of rough. Yeah. I wrote a song about my family. I'm going to sing it for you in a minute. I says, I wonder what we can do here. So I washed all the grease out of everybody's hair, started the dry look.
Mm-hmm.
And you can cut it better if it's not greasy. And I had an aunt that graduated from medical school. She lived right downtown close to where WGNS is right now.
Mm-hmm.
14 brothers and one sister. She worked for old Dr. Jameson up here on, next to the old Kroger store on the Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Jameson sent her through Vanderbilt. And I called her and told her, when she lived in Colorado doing her doctorate out there, that I had graduated from hair school. And she said, "You're just getting started good. I'm going to send you to Hollywood." And she sent me out to Hollywood with a Wild Wild West show. And I got to meet Ross Martin, Peter Lawford, and all that bunch, California Concept. And a California Concept is a pattern type cut. They'll give you 75 patterns to learn. Where the angles will change in and out for the longer hair over the ear, shorter hair above the ear, and then women's hair all the way up to the V-shape. And I learned those and brought them back to Murfreesboro. It took Murfreesboro a while to accept it, and then after they really accepted it, I had to open up a school to duplicate myself. And I didn't show them my Elvis moves or nothing like that, but I did duplicate myself on the haircuts. But I had a good time doing that, and I've got over 15,000 kids over the United States cutting hair, and I hear from those kids from time to time that's doing really well. Some of them have real good stories. One black girl graduated from my school, Wilma McKnight. She's bought a house in Garrison Cove.
Oh,
she's my neighbor.
Good for her.
And I'm really glad I could help Wilma, and I've helped a lot of people by the grace of God. And people help me, so I'm going to help other people. I may even train Freddie how to do a little haircut in Larry Ralston over here.
Now, do you cut both male and female?
Oh, yeah, both male and female. I've got a wonderful...
What is the hardest? Because I know that my barber, you know my barber, he will not cut ladies' hairs because they complain
it's
so much.
It's a little harder.
I shouldn't say that, but
I don't color women's hair because, you know, you can be a half shade off and put about $100 in the materials, and they'll cry and squall and bawl and don't pay you.
Oh,
so
wow.
You lost $100.
Yeah.
So I don't color women's hair because it may be just a half shade off and they don't like it. So I cut women's hair. I do a lot of haircuts. And I was big on the Farrah Fawcett haircut back in the early 70s. And, man, I would have two girls drying hair and two girls shampooing hair. And I could do that V-shape in just a matter of a few minutes. And I had the girls blowing dry, and I was making up $500 a day.
Wow.
Going to do those Farrah Fawcett haircuts.
That's a wild haircut.
Yeah, one of the hairdressers went out and bought a Cadillac, said he's doing better than Charlie Pitts. So I went out and bought a Mercedes. So I said, he can't outdo me. But, you know, now that I got children and everything, I'm driving an old 1997 Lincoln Continental, and it could take a lot of ice cream from what's that place down there?
Yeah, but you're cutting all men's hair now, aren't you?
No, I cut women's
hair.
You're
still cutting women's hair?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I could name them. I've got a lot of women still coming in for haircuts.
You know, it's a lot. Men are cheaper than women. I mean, they're...
Men are cheaper, but I've got a lot of northern friends that really appreciate my haircut that come in. And sometimes they'll tip me as much as I charge for the haircut. Marlene Sellers, she won the country club championship several times. And Monty Sellers is a prince of a man. He's good friends with Don Midget, and they're almost tied in golf.
I didn't know Don Midget had any friends.
I'm a friend of Don Midget, even though he took my girlfriend away from me in about the eighth grade. Martha Jo Brandon was my girlfriend. Camel Brandon's going to be listening today, and Camel knows his story well. Mm-hmm. But Martha Jo was sitting there, and Martha Jo had an appetite. She had a real appetite.
Is Martha Jo listening today?
I hope Martha Jo's not listening. But she said, go get me some pom-poms, some junior mints, some popcorn, some milk duds. And
I have nothing to do with this.
But Campbell does. But anyway, I went down and get it, and I came back to my seat, and Don Midget was sitting in my chair. I says, hey, Martha Jo. What's the deal? She said, he's a school friend. I'm going to talk to him. I didn't know him at that time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just decided I was going to eat both sets of that candy, both sets of the popcorn and both Cokes. So Martha Jo leaned back there. And Don Midges never bought a Coca-Cola in his life. He always drank out of the water fountain at school. So he says, pass the refreshments. I said, let Studley buy you a Coke. I said, I'm going to eat all these by myself. And I did. And... So at the end of the movie, Martha Jo was really hungry, and she says, where's the refreshments? I said, I ate everything, and I was sick as a horse. And she said, give me my picture back. And I said, I've already thrown up on it back here. So that's the story about Camel Brad. Hey, Camel's still a good friend of mine. And Camel told me he's going to drive in a little closer to the radio station so he could hear me. I invited him to come by here.
Campbell's supposed to be on my show later.
I cut Campbell's hair. That's why it looks so beautiful. If you notice Campbell and look at his brother Charles, that's why Campbell's hair looks so much better than Charles's hair, because I take care of it. And if you look at my brother's and look at my hair, mm-hmm. You'll see a difference there, too. Now, Roger.
Do you cut your own hair?
Well, yes, sometimes I have to when Teresa's mad at me. Mm-hmm. But Roger is a good hair cutter. I trained Roger Dale Pitts, mm-hmm. and Roger Dale is one of the best hair cutters in Murfreesboro. And he's trained his wife how to cut his hair. And Roger is really good. He knows those California concept patterns. And he don't work mm-hmm. full-time, but Roger's a polio victim. He can't stand up and do 12 hours, but he stands up and does. But when he does them, they're done right.
Well, you know, Teresa... Part of the contract for you coming on my show, she was supposed to come in to keep you in line.
She was supposed to come in.
And she didn't show up.
She's supposed to come in, but my famous daughters always leave her the children and don't show up when they're supposed to relieve my wife from babysitting. I'm looking for a good babysitter or some new daughters. Whatever comes first, I'm going to take them.
Did you go to the Roy Rogers Theater here when Cheryl came in?
Yes, I did. I went to the Roy Rogers Theater the first time and the next time. Mm-hmm. I was standing there. Roy Rogers' grandson's a real colorful boy. Did you meet him? Yeah. And he was standing there, and he's a little bashful, not much, just a little. Young man. I don't know how old he is, but he's a young fellow. Mm-hmm. I would tell the girls when he come up, I said, Roy Rogers' grandson's here, and he likes a lot of hugs. And, man, he started getting all these hugs from these women, squeezing him and everything. He said, boy, I like Murfreesboro, child. I really like Murfreesboro. He didn't know what I was doing to him, but I was getting him hugged a lot. And we had a real good time. Then I was called away. I had a child. I had to go to Vanderbilt. And Teresa called me, and we had to make a run to Vanderbilt with that child. She's had a heart transplant. She's 21 years old mm-hmm. now. One of the longest heart recipients out there. Mm-hmm. Her name is Kayla, and she loves my guitar. She's a Bonley fan. She likes to rock and bop to my music, so mm-hmm. I sing Barney all day when I'm at home. When I'm home, I do Barney all day long.
You know, I heard the very first time when you played that for Shop and Swap, and I thought it was great, yeah.
The Shop and Swap song?
Yeah, the Shop and Swap song. I just wonder if you have it in plans in your future that you're going to do some songwriting for Special Stars or even for yourself. Hairdresser. I mean, that would be great.
There you go. I sound better in the shower, but it's rough on guitars. Now, I sang one for Scott. Mm-hmm. Scott will need to turn green pot, but it didn't go over too well. So I'm going to write some more songs. You know, you can't hit a home run every time. You know, even Babe Ruth struck out once in a while.
Why don't you and Fred do one together. Because Fred does the best Bob Nolan imitation of anybody I have ever heard.
I have never heard anybody sing like that except on television.
Fred likes to be behind the scenes, but you know he would make a great entertainer.
People don't know this. I was watching Cowboys one day at home.
Mm-hmm.
I says, Teresa, Freddie whirled across the street, and I says, Teresa, do you remember that little guy, Freddie Goodwin, that had the Captain D's commercial? And then he went in the Navy. He was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He left, went out to California, learned to sing and dance. Have you ever seen Freddie do the jitterbug?
No.
He leaves his toenails on the dance floor.
Oh, my goodness.
You ought to see him. And I've seen all
he got, this. He got that from our Uncle Ben.
Is that right?
I've heard it. Uncle Ben could dance better than anybody ever.
Larry is a good slow dancer. Larry is the slowest dancer you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And hard breathing.
Yeah.
But he's really good at slow dancing. But... what were we talking about? I lost my train of thought.
I didn't know we had a train of thought.
Yeah, we had something going there for a minute. But, yes, I plan to write some more songs. And I've got a lot of people I've got to get even with. And I'm going to sing some songs about them and stuff like that.
Why don't you write a – well, of course, you kind of wrote one already for me, for my theme song.
Right. Did I do that for on the radio
Well,
already?
You did that already. I don't want to hear it again.
Okay, what about the song about my family?
About your family? No,
I'm not invited back to the Pitts reunion ever again. I've got thrown out at the...
Well, it's not going to get us thrown off the radio.
No,
it's
clean, but I got thrown out of the ballpark at Barfield because I sang the Pitts family song.
Oh, okay.
And I'll sing it for you, okay?
Yeah.
Me. Are you listening? Oh, here. Boom, boom. Ah. Tom Bodette, Motel 6, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Seems like the Pitts family all checked in and stole all the towels from me. They've stole the dadgum light bulb I leave on for you. Don't y'all ever come back, you hear? Get out of here now. How you like that?
That's pretty good. That's kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies, right?
Yeah, kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies. A little takeoff on that. But we were raised right downtown in Murfreesboro. Where the Naughty Knitter is now, I was raised in the house.
Mm-hmm.
4 rooms, an outdoor toilet. And
is that? I'm not familiar with
You know where the Naughty Knitter is?
No.
Walnut Street, right behind the Middle Tennessee Electric Corporation.
Okay.
I was raised right there.
Okay.
Until I got run off. But I left at 17 and went down to Florida to live with my older sister. They were in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have trouble with this girl at Critchlow School trying to kiss me all the time. And I went down to Louisiana. I went down to Florida. And... I was living in Niceville, Florida, riding a bus 11 miles to Fort Walton. And I thought I'd go down the street to the middle school and shoot a little basketball. And that girl walked out of that school as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little older than me. I said, where did you come from? I said, you didn't come to kiss me, did you? So we had a real good time on that. She's passed away since then, but she's a wonderful girl, wonderful family. And I had a real good time.
You know, you've met a lot of interesting people.
I sure have.
I mean, being a barber is the best place in the world to work to meet people.
You'd be surprised who's been through my hair salon. Freddie brings out, believe it or not, Shirley Eaton of Goldfinger in my one-car garage shop now. Nobody will work with me, so I work by myself, so I might as well go small.
Mm-hmm.
And Freddie brought Shirley Eaton out there.
Did you cut her hair?
I did cut her hair once and styled it, and my wife cut it and styled it, and my daughter worked on her. Now, I've got a granddaughter. Megan, you got to meet Megan. Megan's got a real smart father, Bruce Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Used to work for the sheriff's department at the County Road Workhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And this child was waiting on the table for us. She was filling the glasses up with tea. And Shirley was talking with that beautiful English accent.
She did have a pretty accent.
Yeah, beautiful. And Megan looked at us and says, Shirley, would you like a glass? Would you like some ice in your tea? And my daughter said, where in the devil did an English accent come from? She lives in Cannon County. So we had a great time out of Megan. We still laugh about Megan.
Yeah, Fred brought her over to our family reunion when we had our 4th of July picnic.
Very sharp
lady. Very interesting lady.
And Priscilla is a very sharp lady, too. She's been to my home, and I've been to her home. I was at their house for Freddie's birthday, 62, I believe, Fred. And... just recently, he's got a mansion down here on East Main Street. He bought John Morris's old house.
I wish I could afford to live on
Main Street. I helped him clean it up, and we like to never get that bathtub ring or that swimming pool. But I had a real good time down there. And Freddie got a call from his daughter. He's going to be a grandfather. And, you know, he's half Jones and half Goodwin.
Right.
So I said, we can call him Grandpa Jones since you're in the music business.
Part McFarland, you know? Too.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, Part McFarland. Mm-hmm. So we'll think of something for that. But anyway, I enjoy people. I love people. And, you know, when you keep your heart clean and free of all the hatred and all the meanness and all that kind of stuff, things will flow through you.
Right.
And when I do that, everybody is at a different place in life. And I told my wife, I believe in the capital punishment. I'm going to give Truman a Texas Star because I believe in the electric chair. And I think a lot of people need it. I need it a couple of times myself. Mm-hmm. But
once would have been enough.
I know. That's right. I'll agree with you. But now this one, my wife says, you don't need the electric chair, but I would like to see you get 30 days on low voltage. So anyway, that, I thought
you know, there is a cheap way, and probably the way that would be more humane is, believe it or not, would be the French guillotine, because it's so quick. You never feel it. It's just it's done. It's so gross afterwards, but for the person itself.
I've seen the chickens get the guillotine a few times.
Oh, yeah. You know, and, yeah, we all have.
They get up and walk around, go places and do things, and then you have to turn around and run the other direction.
Yeah.
But I was raised country right downtown, and talking about the outdoor toilet, I used to bring I used to bring girls home with me from school, shoot basketball. Remember that basketball goal, Larry? Put the basketball goal down there. And
that was Larry Ralston in the background saying, yeah.
Yeah, this good-looking girl says, I want to go to the bathroom, Charlie. So I says, I pointed to the outdoor toilet. And she went back to school and said, I had the coolest experience. I went home with Charlie, and I used an outdoor toilet. Every day I had
Did you really have an outdoor toilet in town?
I promised to Larry. But
you're
until
a kid.
Until about the ninth grade. Uh-huh. And then we got an outdoor toilet, and I think I like going outdoors better. Mm-hmm. But these girls want to come home with me so they could use our outdoor toilet. Mm-hmm. But that's been a long time ago. That's a lot of Roman numerals.
Everybody in this room right now had one. We had no electricity whatsoever on our farm.
I figured you was a rich man.
Oh.
Now listen, I went out for football.
I'll never make that level.
I went out for football and played for Bobby Modrow. Best shape I've ever been into. I want to say hi to Bobby. I love Bobby better than anything.
You remember what year that was?
Butler James. That's in 68, wasn't it? Something like
that. Oh, no, it was.
What was it? What year was that? My mind is fuzzy. I've lied about me so much I can't.
Bobby was in the 50s. He was my freshman coach.
Well, I was a freshman, and you were out there. And Truman had the most muscle in his legs. Did you see his legs when he was playing football, Fred? He had great big muscles in his legs.
Why were you looking at my legs?
You could hear those muscles sticking out there like Jack Jolly's. He could burn the grass like Larry's dog. What's that dog you had that could burn the carpet when he ran Larry?
You know, we were talking about something the other day.
Snouser.
Of all the people that doesn't have anything named for him, one of them is Jack Jolly. Can you imagine somebody that's done as much for this community
Jack
as Jack
needs something
Jolly?
Named after him, and I'll agree with that. He kept my family straight. He really did. And, you know, I didn't have him in class, but he came down and told the seventh-grade teacher, says, I hear you got Charlie Pitts in here. And she said, yes, I do. He said, well, if you want me to kill him, just let me know, and I'll be glad to come. Hey, I'll stay straight because I knew I was on hold for killing. And I love Mr. Jolly. He came out to the flag thing the other day at, what was it, Larry? The Belks.
Oh, did he?
They had all the flags at Belks. So when he walked up, they had golf carts, private golf carts out there to take people that, you know, Mr. Jolly, he can run, still run, but he was tired that day.
And, he just had knee surgery, I think.
Yeah, he had knee surgery. And I says, bring that red golf cart over here. It's the prettiest one out there. And take Mr. Jolly on tour down there. He's one of our dignitaries.
He is.
He rode off on that golf cart, waving like General Douglas MacArthur. Mm-hmm. I tell you, it made him feel good. And I always like to make my teachers feel good. I always go back and see them. One time, Miss McNabb, Mrs. Hughes,
You talking Ms. Alma McNabb?
Yeah.
Okay.
They came out to my house to see if I was still living. I was out there doing hair one day on Pitt's Lake and said, Charlie, we just came to see if you're still alive. I said, well, I'm alive, but I'm barely making it. But anyway, they all teachers came to see me.
Do you still cut any of the teachers' hair now?
Oh, yes, I cut a lot of teachers'
hair. Your teachers?
Yes. I love my teachers and cut their hair, and I give them a teacher discount. I started a teacher discount years ago in Murfreesboro.
I think Ms. Warden of Black listens to this show quite a bit.
I love Ms. Warden.
Would you cut her hair for free?
I would give her a free haircut, and she loved me better than anything in school. She said, Charlie, I hadn't whipped you because you got pretty brown eyes. But my fifth grade teacher, Miss Conley, said, Charlie, you got pretty brown eyes, but I'm fixing to beat the daylights out of you. I tell Buddy Conley that when I cut his hair. She's a great lady. Great lady, Miss Collins. But I learned to love all my teachers. Yeah, Miss Mirabelle Robinson was a fifth grade teacher across the hall. If you remember Miss Mirabelle Robinson, she had the most beautiful skin, just like my wife's now. She's got that beautiful brown Louisiana skin, got a little Indian in her, a little Cajun in her, and a little something else in her I can't say on the radio. But she's a wonderful, beautiful girl. And Mrs. Rogers used to hold me close. And she said, "Charlie, you're not a bad boy. You just need love." And I said, "You're exactly right." And she would put my nose into her cleavage. And I'd stay there as long as I could.
All right. We're going to have to take a quick break. And we'll be right back with you, maybe.
All right.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
It's Monday, and the Red Cross is having a blood drive today, 10 until 6 tonight, over at the Red Cross office here in town. That's at 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce location. And by the way, Murfreesboro is now equipped to service platelet apheresis donations. And they do that from 10 this morning until 5:45 this afternoon. And the 73rd annual Tennessee Walking Horse Celebration continues to September the 3rd over in neighboring Shelbyville. Lots of folks here in our community visiting that event. We hope your stay here is enjoyable and that you come back and visit again soon. Oh, in the morning, the Farmers Market. That's over at the Lane Agripark at 315 John Rice Boulevard, 6 to 11 in the morning. And that's right next to Paws, just down the street from Sam's. And also tomorrow night, the Cripple Creek Cloggers invite you to join them for their practice session at 7 o'clock at First Baptist Church at 200 East Main Street. And there are two free GED classes for adults tomorrow night, 6 until 8, one of them over at the Patterson Community Center and the other at the Franklin Heights Family Learning Center. For information, call 893-5812. And on hot days, be sure to check on your senior citizen loved ones. Fans and air conditioners really do save lives. If you need one, call Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program, 818-2459. And if you'd like to make a donation to help someone get an air conditioner or fan and save a life, make a check out to the Cool Aid Program and take it by First Bank on Memorial. Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Sunshine continues throughout the afternoon, high in the upper 80s. Tonight, mainly clear, low near 63. Tuesday, sunny, high near 92. Tuesday night, low 68. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 88.
And today's special at Kirk & Birch is our award-winning smoked wings. This is Tom. Come over and get you some. They're just 40 cents each. That's Kirk & Birch, 517 Cason Lane, just down from the theater, or call in your order at 893-FOOD.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's The Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And today's guest, Charlie Pitts.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you? Ready for, ready for, ready for meal, I said get yourself to the ready for meal.
You're listening to a real entertainer this time, John Blankenship and Friends. And we're talking about John and Avon Lane, Ken Frizzell, Sarah Frizzell, and Billy Yearwood. And they're at the Readable Mill every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can go out there and have the best breakfast and meet some of the finest people at that 200-year-old mill that was refurbished by Tom Brady. And Nora Robinson and Tom are out there every Saturday morning to greet you. And you can have such a wonderful time. And you can call them at 563-6455 if you would like to have something special. Or you can reach them at www.readablemeal.com. You know, if you were to start a band on your own, what would you be looking for, and who are some of the talented people around that you'd like to start with?
If I started a band, bluegrass is so hard to do. I don't know how to do bluegrass, but John Parkhurst does.
Yeah, that's my
Bill
cousin.
Bill Smith, is that right?
Yeah,
you know
first
what I'm
cousin.
Talking about. John Parkhurst is really good, and Bill Smith is really good on the banjo. Do you know Bill,
yeah,
his friend?
Yeah, do.
Bill is great. But those guys are so much better than me, and so fast, I can't think that fast to change chords. And picking, I'm slow picking. I can pick, but I'm slow. I mean, Mr. Blankenship would be, he would really be good. I met Mr. Blankenship at City Cafe.
He's going to be on my show tomorrow, John
Blankenship. I'm going to make sure I listen. I'll have it turned in my barbershop down there. And I admire him very much. But a lot of people play for entertainment. I play for aggravation.
And you do a great job.
Thank you, Truman. Thank you. A lot of people, you know, fold their ears back.
Yeah.
You know who where to get your guitar out on and where to put it up. You know, but I don't play very long when I play. I may play 15 seconds and put it down. And you don't have to learn the full song when you do it like I do. Just learn a few chords. And I feel comfortable with the guitar in my hand. I play for my grandchildren, play for my wife. My wife told me the other day she liked my music. I think she's wanting a new pair of shoes. That's how I met my wife, over a pair of shoes, you know.
Oh, really?
I went down to Louisiana looking for my girlfriend. I had a girlfriend at Kittrell, and she wanted a pair of alligator shoes. And I drove, she says, you go and don't stop until you come back with a pair of alligator shoes. And they didn't have them in Murfreesboro, didn't have them in Nashville. I wound up 500 miles away in Monroe, Louisiana. And I was looking for
a pair of shoes.
I was looking for a pair of alligator shoes. And every alligator I caught, somebody else already had the shoes off of it. And my wife got to helping me look. We fell in
love. Somehow I feel like Ed McMahon.
We got to looking for alligator shoes and fell in love. We've been together 42 years. I thought my wife was going.
Boy, what a saint.
I thought she was going to leave.
Saint Teresa.
I know, Saint Teresa.
All right.
Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
She's a mother, too, and a grandmother, Teresa. But I thought she was going to leave any minute. Just like my mother, I thought she was going to leave any minute. But she stayed 67 years.
Oh, can you
believe that?
That's amazing.
67 years. My mother came out of Cannon County, and she had made more
friends. I didn't
know
you had roots in Cannon County.
Oh, Lord, yes. I sure do. And my daddy was right downtown here, raised right downtown. And they loved each other better than anything. Met at the public well. That's before water. They didn't have water in the house down there. They had to go get a bucket of water and take it back home.
I can remember those days.
They met at the public well. And a love story, real love story. Loved each other. And just like me, that made me, by watching them and doing things, I don't like to, you know, I live good and I have things. I've had a lot of things I've gotten rid of because it's not good to have those boats that use $8 worth of gas every time you fill it up a gallon. And I sold my lake house. And
you still have your four-wheel drive vehicles?
No, got rid of four-wheel drive vehicles, got rid of all that.
I remember one day you called me and your daughter was out on that thing and you were scared to death she's going to kill herself.
Yeah, I sure was. She run away in it. My daughters have always done that. And my daughters just like boys. I taught them how to fish, taught them how to hunt, shoot guns, everything. I've taught them everything.
Shoot, that's great.
I was talking about guns. Ronnie Barrett's one of my heroes.
Ronnie Barrett.
Ronnie is younger than me, and I used to go to church with him at Bellwood. In Bellwood Church Christ. And the only reason I did that bell would wake me up. I was a bachelor over at the DeVille Apartments. That bell would wake me up every morning. I said, well, bye, George. I'm just going to church. Met Ronnie, and Ronnie is one of my heroes. He don't quite believe that, I don't think, when I tell him. But Ronnie has done a lot for America.
Yeah.
Done a lot. A
lot for the community here.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate Ronnie for that. I really do.
I do, too. And speaking for every soldier in the U.S. forces.
That's right. I'm going to get a carry permit because a lot of times I go to the bank and I have sometimes over $100 with me. And
you'll be vulnerable.
When I go to the bank, I need to have a gun. And when I jog, my gun is so heavy, it pulls my pants down. I've been accused of sagging. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is get me a titanium gun so my pants will stay up. Mm-hmm. I've lost almost 40 pounds. I'm down to a ton. I'm getting ready to lose. As Tom Perriman says that, I'm down to a ton. And Tom Perriman the other day gave me the idea about the Texas Stars.
He's a great guy.
Yes, I love Tom Perriman. Yes. Radio man in Texas.
Oh, my goodness. He used to be a big radio man here.
Yes, you tell Tom Perriman, you say, Tom, are you losing weight? He's, yeah, I'm down to a ton. And I thought that was really good, so I adopted that. So every time somebody says something about weight, I tell them I'm down to a ton.
Fred used to work with him.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's something I didn't know about you, Fred.
They were the number one big-time people here in Murfreesboro at one time.
Well, let me tell you.
In fact, in the Middle Tennessee area.
If Fred is your friend, he'll stay with you. And if it's not popular to be Charlie Pitts' friend, he'll still be Charlie Pitts' friend. And Larry Ralston the same way. And that's what you got to be with friends. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be that way and you got to stay with
friends is what life is all about.
That's right. And solid. Being solid and loyal. Mm-hmm. You got to be loyal to your friends. No matter what they're
doing. I know that you have been very loyal to yours. Sometimes give a false front.
That's
but,
right.
But we
yeah.
know better than
oh,
that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's
I
right.
I mean, if one of your friends is in need, you're going to be right out there.
You said it, buddy.
Quicker than anybody
you
else.
It. You said it. Had a friend who runs a catfish pond out here off Brable Pike. He just changed jobs. Bob Hammonds. He don't mind me saying this. He's supposed to be listening. Well, his mother passed away, and he just changed jobs. Well, all of a sudden, he had five brothers to come see him. And three sisters come see him. I said, uh-oh, remember that, Larry? I said, his whole family landed on him to eat three meals a day for about 2 weeks. Mm. So what do I do? When my grandchild had the heart transplant, First Baptist came down with those casseroles. And I thought it used to be so square to see somebody taking a casserole to somebody's house. I'd laugh about it when there's peanut butter and crackers. So I tell you, I still cry sometimes when I think about how wonderful that food made me feel bringing it to us. And I went down to Colonel Sanders with Larry Ross, and I went down there, and we got the biggest bucket of chicken we could find. I said, I want a big bucket of chicken. She said, this is the biggest we got. I said, I'm talking about there on the sign. You got a 55-gallon drum. She said, we don't sell them that big. And she said, I was like, give me the biggest you got. And I got the biggest heart of the head and took it out to Bob Hammonds. Mm-hmm. And Larry, you remember, were you watching me, Larry? When I walked across his back porch, he has a nice wooden back porch with that log cabin, Gunpucket Road, turn left, mm-hmm. Catfish Pond. And I walked across that porch and I hit a little step. And I looked like Red Skelton going across that porch with a bucket of chicken and four side orders. And there the chicken was slapping me upside the head while I was walking and running, trying to keep from falling. But I got there, but when we were on the way to a class reunion, but I wound up
on Gunpucket Road?
Yeah. Well, we was going back to the reunion at Alita Tooman's dinner at her house.
Yes.
Had the best time. Some mm-hmm. of my friends.
Dr. Tooman.
Yeah, Dr. Tooman. Mm-hmm. Yes, she does hearing aids. Mm-hmm. And she's a wonderful girl. Wonderful girl. I told her, she said, I think about retiring. I said, don't retire, Alita, because your friends are just now getting where they can't hear. So I talked to her and staying in business. Mm-hmm. Because we need...
She doesn't get her hair cut at your place, does she?
Yes, she does.
Does she?
I cut her hair, Sally's hair, and I've cut Angie's hair before, Fred's cousin, and then my wife cuts it some, too. You know, we share around there. And my daughter's a great cutter.
Angie Kleino gets her hair cut there?
She's been there before. She don't on a regular basis, mm-hmm. but Angie Kleino's a wonderful girl.
You talked about special kids a minute ago,
yes,
and they're the
yes.
ones. She and her husband that. Came in here and started that.
I know that. I really do. And we want to think about Bud Young. Bud Young's had some yes. heart problems, and I want to think about him. And everybody say a prayer for Bud to get well. And who else is Larry that's sick? We want someone to say about it. Bill Nims.
Yes.
Bill Nims is fighting cancer.
Saw him
hard.
Sunday. Yes.
And I love Bill. Bill has.
I love him too.
You know, Bill's had one of the most beautiful bass voices mm-hmm. that you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And Bill can sing bass really beautiful. And beautiful daddy. You know, one time I was cutting Mr. Kurtzinger's hair, and he loved to hear me say, freight train, going so fast. And I'd play it for Mr. Kurtzinger when he came out. And Mr. Nims would stand there and listen. He never got a haircut there, but he'd stand there and listen to me cut and watch me cut Mr. Kurtzinger's hair. And I broke a G-string, and I says, Mr. Nims, can you take my guitar by the music shop, and I'll pick it up when I go to lunch? He says, I'll take it to the landfill, but I'm not going to take it to the music shop. So I had a good time, Mister. I still.
We're talking about Bill or Tom now.
Yeah, Bill's father was named Tom.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So Tom says I'm going to take it to the landfill. Mm-hmm. So I still laugh about that. Bill does too. Everybody laughed about that for the longest.
Yeah, we Fred and I remember Icy May, Bill's mother.
Yes.
Oh, she was the sweetest lady.
Yes, you sure were. And I got a sister named Brenda that's an awful sweet girl. And I love the Nims family. Got a beautiful daughter. What is she doing now, Fred? She was at the reunion, and she was. I found out what she did. And now Bill's daughter. Bill's daughter is doing something. I forgot what it was.
You guys didn't go to the reunion Saturday night, did you? They had the class of 56.
No,
but they were inviting, you know, all the class. I was wanting to go, but I missed it.
I went to my sister's reunion at the electrical man out on Franklin Road. What's his name? Don McDonald.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were flying airplanes. Golly. Flying airplanes.
He says, time.
These planes are real light, Charlie. I said, well, if I got on it, it'd be an airliner. Mm-hmm. So it'd be too heavy. I got out there. Ray Melton was going to play music for it. And I wanted to dance. I love to dance, even though I don't look good dancing, but I wanted to dance. But I said,
you remember when he was a kid playing?
Oh, yes, I sure do. Still sing the same songs.
Oh, had a great band.
But I said, I want to find somebody that's not on a walker and not carrying a walking cane. I'll dance with them. And one girl stepped up to the plate, and she does those Iron Man contests.
Uh-oh.
Plays football, basketball, runs and swims. One of the Leathers girls.
Which Leathers girl?
Out at Rockville. That girl plays softball and everything, stays in real good shape, jogs, exercise. Marie's oldest sister. Marie went to my hair school. So she said, I'll dance with you.
Myrtle, the redheaded one.
When she got through with me, I had to hold to the tent post. She winded me. And one of the teachers laughed, says, Charlie, have you had enough dancing? I said, that's enough dancing to do me to the next reunion. But she was in great shape. You got to be in good shape to do the twist.
I never could do the twist.
Hey, I have to stop about 3 minutes before the record's over so my body will quit shaking.
Mr. Pate would not let us go to dances.
Oh, really?
No. No, we weren't allowed to go to dances.
Well, I was raised Church Christ, and they told me I couldn't dance.
This was because of football.
Yeah, they told me I couldn't dance, and that was kind of a go-ahead for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to dance, and I danced with everybody, and I had a good time.
You were always kind of would you consider yourself a rebel?
Sort of a rebel until I got down to like Mr. Butler James one time. He said, I'm going to conquer that rebel in you. He said, I'm not going to whip you, Charlie, but I'm going to put the boxing gloves on with you. I've been going down the Golden Gloves, boxing a little bit, and I'd won one fight.
And who in the world did you whip?
I whipped Ricky Foster out of Lebanon. He's going to law school. And the poor Ricky's going to be with Jesus now. Not over the fight, but a few years later he got leukemia.
Yeah.
And I beat Ricky Foster, and then I was really overconfident, and I went back to the boxing ring to warm up for the next fight the next week. And I was hitting my gloves together. Billy Rowland walked in. I said, hey, Billy, come here and let me spar with you a little bit. I hope Billy's listening. He was a bread man in Murfreesboro for years, went to McFadden School. And I said, let me spar with you a little bit, Billy. He said, Charlie, I weigh 12 pounds more than you, and I'm not supposed to fight anybody that's smaller than me. I said, well, I'm going to whip you anyway. Just come on up to the ring. And I got in a ring with Billy. Billy did not tell me he'd won the middleweight championship the year before that. And it's the first time I've ever been knocked out that cold. I've been knocked out before, but I hadn't been knocked out that cold. So I woke up, and he said, Pitts, I got a new name for you. And I said, what's that? And he said, Canvasback Pitts. So anyway, I quit boxing.
Do you remember all those boxers back in? Of course, James Clymer. Lee Wayne Riley.
Leon Smith.
Yeah, Leon Smith.
And there was Bon Pitts. Bon Pitts was kin to me.
Mm-hmm.
His son went on to be in the Wagon Train movie out in California.
Remember Wagon really? Train?
Yeah, Bon Pitts had a son, played in that real dark, black-haired boy. And he was in that Wagon Train movie for a long time.
Are you talking about the TV series,
yes,
the old Wagon Train?
Right, the little black-haired boy was Bon Pitts' relative that was kin to me.
Wow.
And I've got roots in Hollywood, too, besides Freddie. But Freddie learned to do all the stuff in Hollywood, and I was really proud of him. I really was. But if you ever get a chance to see Freddie dance, I notice when he goes to the square and they have the dances on the square,
mm-hmm.
Freddie's preacher's over there. He'll go over and sit down beside the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
But when the preacher goes home, he gets up, boogies a little bit. So I tease Freddie about that. But we have a good time.
I presume the preacher's listening right now.
Hope preacher's listening. Maybe we can get him dancing sometimes. But I enjoy people. And, you know, we don't dance for we dance kind of like aerobics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a good time doing that sort of thing.
Well, I tell you what, you do look good. From the last time I saw you, you've trimmed down an awful lot.
Yes, I looked in the mirror one day. I was coming back from Nashville with my wife one day, and I pulled into a restaurant. And this man was, the way I pulled in, the reflection from the restaurant, it looked like I was sitting in a booth, the way my body was shaped, the way everything was set up. I said, Teresa, who is that old man in there looking straight at me? Just that fat man, that big old chin hanging out. Who is that? She said, shake your head. And I shook my head, and I said, God almighty, that's me. And she said, you're so mean, you're getting a fight with yourself. So I started getting on a diet. Just cut the reflection from the window.
I bet you feel 100% better.
That's right. I eat half of everything I used to eat.
I don't know how in the world. How long do you stand every day when you're cutting hair?
I work off of a stool.
Okay, because you're standing right now. You don't want to sit on the stool.
The reason I got up, my leg was going to sleep. Yeah. I don't like to sit very long because I like to stand up. Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the most comfortable chairs in the world.
I'm staying. Yeah. I was sitting on my wallet.
But I do.
Yeah, sitting on my wallet is what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But standing, you know, I like to sit down. I like to stand up. And I like to walk. I walk every morning at Kroger. It's cheaper. You got security. You can park in the middle of the parking lot. You got a security guard there. You got lights. Mm-hmm. And you can walk, park your car in the middle of the parking lot. You're never that far from it. Every way you walk, you're close to your car.
Ever tried an elliptical machine?
Never have tried one of those.
Oh, those things will burn it off of you.
Is that right?
I need to do some more burning.
I need to do some more burning because I'm still about 25 pounds too heavy.
Well, better put your ears on because we've got a phone call.
All right.
And it's probably for you. Caller, welcome aboard with Charlie Pitts.
Truman, I'm not his preacher, but I told him this morning, try to be sure to give you let you have a word in edgeways, and I see he didn't pay attention to
me. No, he didn't.
you knew that people thought his wife, for about 10 years after his marriage, thought his wife was a deaf mute.
That's funny. Is this Brother Mofield?
No, this is Billy Hinn.
Hey, Billy, how you doing, buddy?
Billy Hinn.
I think I had coffee at your table this morning, advertising the Truman Jones Show.
You know who this is. You were at the cafe this morning.
Yes, I know it, but I went to three tables. I was eating all the leftovers.
Is that a private affair, or is everybody invited to be there?
Well, I wasn't invited. I just walked in and sat right down. Daddy let my mind roll off.
He was invited to leave. He wasn't. Y'all be careful.
Thank you, sir. Good to hear from you, okay? Thanks for calling.
It's nice to have
I wish
nice
Campbell Brandon way. Would call.
Yeah, I wish
Campbell's
you would,
always
too.
Got something.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll give Campbell time to pick up the phone and find the number.
The camel's a mess.
Hi, I'm Rudy Giuliani, and I'd like to invite you to join me at the Get Motivated Business Seminar on Monday, October 17th, for a day you will never forget. I will be speaking live and in person, along with world-famous soldier statesman General Colin Powell, America's favorite comedian Bill Cosby, legendary CEO and president of Forbes, Inc., Steve Forbes, internationally revered investing expert Mary Buffett, renowned Notre Dame football coach Lou Holtz, plus acclaimed CEO of Southwest Airlines, Howard Putnam, and star subject of the blockbuster film The Pursuit of Happiness, Christopher Gardner. You'll learn leadership strategies, business skills, time management, communication skills, and much, much more. This critically acclaimed, life-changing event is like no other. Your friends will be there, and so will your competitors. That's Monday, October 17th at the Bridgestone Arena, and it's only $9.95 for you and your whole office to attend if you call now. Not per person, but $9.95 for everyone. Call 1-800-340-1865. That's 1-800-340-1865. Or go to GetMotivatedNashville.com. I'll be there. I want to see you there, too.
A vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler in Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealer may look alike, have the same equipment, be priced the same, but the truth is they are very different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicles from Stan McNabb has the oil change and tires for life at no additional charge. Save hundreds, even thousands, with their oil change and tires for life when you purchase a new or pre-owned vehicle from Stan McNabb. Buy with confidence at Stan McNabb. Learn more at StanMcNabb.com. See dealer for complete details.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
Welcome back with Charlie Pitts. Of course, we do have a couple of people here with him. Fred Goodwin is saying no, and Larry Ralston saying yes. But we have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Yes, I'd like to know how that fact came out between Charlie and his eighth grade school teacher, Butler James. He started to tell us, but went off a different direction. Be interested in knowing how that worked out.
Well, I thought that I was going to get the best of Mr. James because we were supposed to put the boxing gloves on two or three times before that. And I did something one day, or said something, made Mr. James mad. Excuse me. he said, upstairs, Charlie. All the girls go home, and we'll take Charlie upstairs. We're going to box. And I thought, sure, I could whip Mr. James. Good-looking man, you know, good education, fine clothes. Had a nice swagger when he walked. I said, I'm going to kill him. So I got up there and got a little boxing match with him, and I hadn't been introduced to the uppercut yet. I didn't know anything about an uppercut. Our club didn't do uppercuts. We did the windmill. So I was trying to windmill, and all of a sudden something came up from my feet, hit me on the chin, set me on the stage, and I had a great new respect for my eighth grade teacher. Love him better than anything. I wish I could hug his neck right today. But he played ball with us, played a little kick baseball, touch football. I played football for him. Had a wonderful time. He took me to Lewisburg one day, play with the team. He said, but you got to sit beside me all the way over there because I know what you're going to do on the way. So I rolled the glasses down, turned the radio up and all that kind of stuff. We listened to Just Walking in the Rain 15 times on the way over there. So I got over there to Lewisburg. They had 7th and 8th and 9th grade. We had 7th and 8th grade. Those boys walked out on the field. I said, good Lord. I thought maybe they failed the grade about 4 or 5 times because it was so big. And they wanted me to run a touchdown. Sometimes they put me in there because I could run pretty good. And I took a sash for that end zone, and my helmet, the Glenn Climber stole my helmet, and my helmet had fallen over my eyes, and I couldn't see good, and I ran around that right end. And when I looked up, I noticed the bleachers were facing the other direction. I said, what are they doing? What are they looking at, a soccer game or something? And he blew the whistle, and I'd run all the way to the touchdown, all the way to the end zone. So proud of my first touchdown. I was about 50 yards out of bounds. Called it back, and that was the name of that story. But Butler James, he could handle himself really good to be a fine Baptist boy with a college education. And I really enjoyed knowing Butler James, and I still have a great respect for him. He's still alive. Larry got in touch with him recently. He lives in Georgia, Larry. He lives down in Georgia, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Did he go down when Gilbert Sharon went down to Georgia? Because I know they were big buddies, and they did some coaching. Yeah, they were doing some coaching here. What a great bunch. Who are you waving at?
Monty Hill Jr. Monty Hill Sr. was a real good friend
legend,
of mine.
The legend, the legend.
Yes, sir. Monty Hill Sr. was a good friend of mine, and Monty Hill Jr. is too.
Now, does Monty Hill Jr. get his hair cut at your place?
No, I never have cut Monty Hill Jr. since he was a baby. I just keep his bangs out of his eyes.
Pull your hat off. No,
still,
he doesn't get his.
Still got a nice head of hair.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, we have another phone call. Caller, welcome aboard with Charlie Pitts.
Hey, Truman.
Hey.
Have Charlie to tell you about that story about Ms. Ralston's furnace.
Oh, Lord.
Can it be told on before we get started, can it be told on the radio?
Why, sure.
Okay. This is Dwight Hancock.
Okay,
hey, Dwight, how you doing, buddy? Good to hear from
buddy.
You.
All right, your name's on the line, Dwight.
Be nice, Charlie.
When I found out how much money Dwight's got, he's my new best friend. He's almost got much money.
How much does he tip you?
I tell you, he tips me about $20. I cut his hair for $20, and he tips me $20. So a lot of people feel sorry for my financial condition, and they tip me pretty good.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I went to see Larry Ralston one Saturday morning real early to go to the movies, but I had to cut Miss Ralston's yard before I went because Larry was too lazy to cut it. I pushed it with a push mower, and my lawnmower was so dull when the wind blew, the grass would stand back up. So I made a lot of money off her yard. That's the truth, wasn't it, Larry? The wind blew and the grass stood up. So Larry says, I'm waiting. Had a three-story house, great big basement, ground floor, and then the upper floor. She was on the upper floor, and I heard Larry down in the basement, so I just went down the steps. And he says, Charlie, I'm going to the movies with you, but I got to make sure these clinkers are cool before I leave the basement. I said, how you going to cool them? He said, I guess I got to wait. I said, I got a better idea. I just drank an RC, and we'll cool those clinkers.
And, what are you talking about? Cooling what?
Clinkers, the rock that they took out of the furnace, great big furnace.
I never heard of that.
Coal would have rock in it a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And that rock would build up and make a great big, bigger, both fists put together, a big molten rock. If you didn't take it out, it would ruin your furnace.
Mm-hmm.
So Larry had those big tongs down in there taking those clinkers out. It had seven scuttles. And I said, I believe I can take care of all seven scuttles in one sitting. So I don't want to say this on radio, but
No, don't say it. Be careful with it.
But I had two RCs.
Mm-hmm.
And the RC, you got to get rid of the RC, right? Mm-hmm. So I got rid of the RCs on the clinkers. And all that boiled up in that first floor to the third floor. Miss Ross said, Larry, you went on the clinkers again. So I heard it running across the floor, and I climbed up the coal pile. I was a little guy, and I crawled out that basement window where they put the stoker coal in the hole. And I played football for Bobby Motto, so I ran so hard all the way home, full blast, two streets over to Walnut. Ran in the front yard, and the telephone was ringing. And I took a deep breath. I says, Pitts residence. She said, Charlie, have you been out of the house? I said, no, ma'am, I hadn't left all day. She immediately turned to Larry and just beat the holy daylights out of Larry. So I got Larry's first good whipping, and I was proud to be a part of that.
That sounds like the movie The Christmas Story, doesn't it? Right. That poor little Raffy, bless his heart.
But before Miss Ralston passed away at, what, 98 years old, Larry? 97 years old. I told her one night at City Cafe that I was the culprit. She said, I knew it all along because Larry don't lie. So anyway, she knew the whole time. I'd cool those clingers down real good for that household.
You know, it's amazing. All these great stories, and none of us have ever heard them before.
Well, you know, I didn't want
to... Have you ever thought of maybe getting somebody to help you write some of this historic value stuff
City Cafe,
that we're having?
City Cafe knows them well, but you know, I just...
Where do you guys go and swap the stories?
City Cafe.
You got... How many of you? There's about what?
Saturdays.
A bunch of us. Yeah. We go up there on Saturdays and
at City Cafe. What time do you guys go there?
About 12.
About 12 o'clock. At lunch.
And we tell stories about school things and
Do you get the middle table?
Yes, I get the front table.
Mm-hmm.
And
the other table.
We do this every Saturday. I take a 2-hour lunch break on Saturday so I can go do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a good time doing it. I just saw Steve Grimsley walk down the hallway. He's be the manager of Kroger's. He's opening up a new storage place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Zippy or Zappy. I got it in my pocket here.
Zappy?
Yeah, and you know, honey, he's a very highly successful man. Joey Meadows came to see us the other day.
Oh, I remember Joey well.
Hey, Joey Meadows, come to find out, he's developed all these guys outweigh me with muscle.
You know Brian's standing over there looking and staring at us.
Yeah, I mean, great big muscles. That's the wrong card. But Joey came to see us. And Kenny Barrett didn't know him. Kenny was out helping me. Kenny's a millionaire. And I had trouble. I've been going to the hospital to see my granddaughter quite a bit. And Kenny came out to do my bushes for me real good. They'd already grown over the top of the house where I cut hair. And he came out and cut that grass and fixed my bushes real good. And wound up, Joey met us for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took him home with me, and he and Kenny Barrett had a real nice...
When you see him next time, tell him, hey, for me.
I will. Did you know he played football, and he caught a lot of passes from Roger Staubach? He was in Special Forces in the Navy.
Oh.
And I've learned a whole lot about Joey I didn't know. But I knew Joey had got some shoulders on him mm-hmm. and some arms on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a Methodist speaker in Columbia.
Yeah, I knew
speaks.
That. Yeah.
He speaks. And I love Joy better than anything.
We're going to have to cut it off, I'm afraid, Charlie. Yeah, we're just getting started. But
yeah.
Brian gets mad when I go over into his hour, and I'm afraid we're already about 10 or 15 minutes.
Brian, you're a great American.
Hour. Yeah, he is a great American, yeah. and he's one of the most talented people that I think I've met in a long time.
I want to say something quick about the lady who thought I could get people out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to me and says, can you get my husband out of jail? They got him in there stealing hams. I says, he's a good husband, lousy husband. Good daddy, not lousy father. That's why you want him out of jail. She said, we're almost out of ham.
And that will end it for the day. Yeah. And tomorrow we'll be back at 2 o'clock
right.
And with John Blankenship. And had a great time, Charlie. It was a lot of fun.
How'd I do except for the cleavage?